You have your copy of the scriptures. Join me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual renewal. I don't know about you, but in my life as a Christian, I have found that there are seasons where it feels like I'm running on empty and other times where it feels like I've got high octane. And I have found that there are things in life that sort of drained my tank spiritually. One of those happened about 8 years ago. I was working on my doctorate in family ministry. I was also working full-time at a church, and I also, to help pay for my doctorate, I was working a part-time job with an after-school program called the Teen Outreach Program. And so I was going along, and I'm doing all these things, and the grades were okay, they're good, you know, we want to get A's all the time, but my grades were solid, and I was able to get things done. But the truth was, because there was this never-ending work, and there was no time to slow down and rest and really think about what God was doing, I began to become discouraged in my Christian life. I was earning a doctorate in family ministry, but the irony was not lost on me that I had no time for my family. And so there was something that needed to change. I needed to change. I needed to have my spiritual tank refilled. I needed a time of renewal. I don't know about you, but in my spiritual life, I go through times where this keeps going on and things leave me feeling weak. And these seasons of spiritual weakness affect not only my work, my health, and every aspect of my life, really. And I know that from what I've seen, I'm far from the only Christian who runs on empty from time to time. And there are situations that come along that zap us of our spiritual power. And sometimes a Christian may be stretched too thin by taking on too many responsibilities. And sometimes there is sin in our lives which separate us from God, whittling away at our soul on the inside until it's like there's nothing left. Other times it isn't a matter of working too hard or having a lifestyle of sin. Sometimes it's just that hard things keep coming at us that bring stress, fear, doubt, and discouragement, robbing us of our joy and diminishing our impact. It can end up harming our health and our relationships. In our passage this morning, the Christians in the Ephesian church were discouraged. Perhaps the pressure from the culture outside of them was wearing on them. Perhaps they had been unable to kick certain sins and were beginning to doubt that they were really saved. And for whatever the reasons, they were running on empty. So Paul, who is locked up in the slammer as he writes this letter, does all that he can do, and he prays. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19 is a prayer report from Paul. And from the report, we see that spiritual renewal in the life of the Christian and the life of a church is possible. Please stand if you're able to, in honor of the reading of God's word. We will see that. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father in heaven, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's read verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for today and this time to be together with my church family. I pray that your Spirit would move and minister among us. And as we sang, the Holy Spirit would breathe upon us and lead us and strengthen us and encourage those who need encouragement, strengthen those who need strengthening. I pray, Father, that you'd show your love to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Contrary to what we might expect, our passage is not a call for the Christian to do more for Jesus. Rather, it is a call for God to help us experience more of Jesus. Experiencing more of Jesus is powerfully transformative. Paul says that the goal of all this is that God's people would experience the fullness of God. That is, that we would become more like Jesus and become all that God intends for us to be. Verses 14 through 19 is a prayer report, and Paul is praying that the Ephesians would have a fuller experience with God's power, resulting in a greater experience of the massive love of Christ. When this kind of prayer is answered, God's people experience more of the glorious things that the Father has prepared for his children through his Son, Jesus Christ. The question I have is, why does Paul pray like this? He prays like this because he knows that it is possible for God's people to have a greater experience with God, and we experience spiritual renewal when we are filled up with the things of God. The Christian life is kind of like a plant. We are either growing or we are withering. We are wilting. Are you wilting this morning, or are you growing? When we are filled up with the fullness of God, we grow. We grow in love. We grow in joy. We have more hope, more faith, and these things encourage us. And that is why we should pray that God would fill us and each other with the fullness of God. But there are things that try to compete with what God wants to do in our hearts, and it gets in the way. He wants to fill up the space in our lives rather than God. One of those is pride. And I'm not talking about the pride of a job well done. I'm talking more about the pride that says, I don't need anything. I'm strong enough. I don't need to have my sins forgiven. I'm doing pretty well. I don't need anything. But the Bible warns us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This morning, if you can say with all integrity that you know you need some spiritual renewal in your life, that's humility, and that's the type of person that God wants to bless. My prayer for you this morning is that you'd have your spiritual tank topped off for the next leg of your journey with Jesus Christ. But sometimes pride gets in the way, and sometimes it's tradition. Tradition is not always wrong until it gets in the way of what God wants to do. Sometimes God wants to do a new thing in our lives, but because we're so used to embracing the old ways that it gets in the way. And then there's routine. This is my challenge. I have learned that for me, I can get a lot of things done as long as I am allowed to have my routine, but I don't like when my routine gets monkeyed with. It messes with me. It takes me weeks to recover when I have a week that's out of sorts. And the routine, I like routine. I don't want anybody messing with it. But the truth is, sometimes God wants to do something in my life and my routine isn't getting the job done. And it isn't a matter of me finding a better routine. It's a matter of me finding a way to connect with Jesus. And sometimes it's sin in our lives. Sin whittles away at our soul and fills us up with ourselves until there's no room for God. And then there's hard work. You know, hard work is not a bad thing. Routine is not a bad thing. Tradition is not a bad thing. And hard work is not a bad thing. But if you're a worker bee Christian, I know some Christians are worker bees. Your first response, when you realize that your spiritual tank is empty, you begin to ask, what do I got to do to fill her up? What do I have to do? But the truth is, it might not be that you need to do something more. It might be that you need to do less. It might be that you have taken on too many responsibilities, and it might be that there is a need to change something. Some worker bees, Christians, are like me. I'm a task-oriented kind of guy more than I am. I'm task-oriented more than people-oriented. That doesn't mean I don't like people or love people. It means that my default, when I see that something needs fixed, is I automatically want to get to work and start solving the problem. I want to have a routine, a system to start attacking the problem. And if you're that way, that might get in the way of you experiencing what God wants to do. See, spiritual renewal for the task-oriented Christian is likely to come through doing less, at least for a season, not more. It is through taking a break that we can oftentimes more richly connect with Christ. Regardless of your natural tendencies, God's word says that you can have a richer experience with God than you currently have. Jesus himself spoke to this. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes I've begun to wonder, as I've gotten a little more miles on me, if I've ever tried to take on things that really God didn't want me to take on. Because God's burden isn't so burdensome that we can't carry it. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, his burden is light. Maybe if I'm burdened, it's because I brought too many things on myself that Jesus never wanted me to carry. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be out there trying to be him high-impact people, but maybe the burden isn't really ours to carry. And those are questions we got to ask yourself. But I have a question. Are you weary and heavy laden this morning? Do you have too much work, not enough power, too much sin, too much regret, too much pain, too much shame, too much discouragement? Well, the Bible tells us that spiritual renewal is possible. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God tells us that spiritual renewal is possible, and it really isn't about our strength. It's about God making it possible. God is the one who makes spiritual renewal possible. That's why it isn't a matter of human effort. Prayer is God's impact wrench because it has the power to change things, because it is built on his glory and his power rather than our own. So when Paul learns that the Ephesians are troubled, he bows the knee, meaning he prays to God the Father and begins to ask God for help, because prayer is the impact wrench. You know, I'm not a mechanic, but I understand there's a difference between a wrench and an impact wrench. When you walk into the mechanic shop and you hear, zzz, zzz, that's the impact wrench, loosening bolts that the person couldn't loosen in their own strength, or at least not without wearing themselves out. Prayer is our impact wrench that breaks us loose of sin. It enables us to overcome addiction. It enables us to overcome discouragement. It enables us to overcome ourselves and experience the good things that God has planned for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. You see, prayer is the impact wrench that breaks things loose, but so often we resort to trying to break things loose in our own strength. I've been guilty of that a time or two, and this simply results in more discouragement. But beloved, there is a better way. The better way is to pray to God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, who spoke the universe into existence, who created all the peoples of the world. We've all sinned and gone away from him, and yet, in spite of that, he sent his son Jesus to make salvation possible for every nation, tribe, tongue, language, and family. If we want spiritual renewal, we should ask God for it. Spiritual renewal happens when the Holy Spirit empowers us. Look at verse 16 and 17. Paul is praying, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we'll continue that thought. Being rooted and grounded in love most likely means that you are a person who is saved. And Paul is praying that God would grant strength and spiritual renewal. And it tells us that we should ask God that the Holy Spirit would strengthen us in our inner man, our inner woman, to be able to handle the next leg of the journey. The Bible in other places speaks of God's desire to renew us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 17 says, so that we do not lose heart. Have you ever lost heart? A child who seems resistant to coming to faith in Christ, a loved one, a spouse who just does not want to give their life to Christ, or maybe an inability to overcome some sin in our lives that causes us to lose heart, some situation that simply will not change. And the Bible is concerned so that we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. He is saying, I want you to be strengthened in your inner person so that you can endure these hardships and not quit, not sit down on the Lord Jesus when he's got more things to do and just around the corner for you. Don't sit down. He's asking that the Holy Spirit would empower his people and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Do you need spiritual renewal? God wants to give it to you. In verse 16, there's an interesting word there. My Bible has it translated strengthened, and that's a fine word, especially when we're talking about biceps and things like that or a building that needs to be strengthened. But really, the idea in that word when we're talking about our mental and emotional and spiritual state is it's being encouraged because they're discouraged. When we're discouraged, we have a God who wants to help us. We have a Holy Spirit who wants to strengthen us to overcome, to make it through the day to the next day, to the next season of victory with God our Father. And he's praying for that, isn't he? He isn't saying, Ephesians, time to pull yourself up by your spiritual bootstraps. He's saying, our God can meet this need. Our God can transform our hearts. Our God can give us renewal in our marriage, in our home, in our church, and in our hearts as individuals. Spiritual renewal happens when we experience more of Christ's love. Look at verse 18 in the first part of verse 19. He's praying, so that you may be strengthened to do what? To comprehend, to wrap your mind around, along with all the other saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The Bible tells us that we love because God first loved us. He's saying, I'm praying that you will fully understand just how much God loves you. This one thing, even my son's kind of caught on to it. I've told him once that I love you so much, but God loves you more than I do. And he understood that God did all of this. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For as Christians, spiritual renewal comes at the moment we put our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. But what I'm suggesting to you is that should not be, and God does not desire for that to be the last time you experience God's love and power. In a book of Romans, Paul is wrestling with and just has spoken at length about the salvation that God has worked for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And he, after talking about this, he says, "How if God will not spare his own son, but freely give him up for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" Now, being an American, I start thinking, is that a new pickup truck? And there's guys on TV that talk like all things must mean trucks and bigger houses and boats and fancy vacations. And I'm not against those things, but I don't think that's what the Apostle Paul is really getting at. I think he's talking, listen, those things are fine and dandy, but those don't always fix everything in a person's heart and their minds and their emotions. And he's saying, if God's going to love us enough to save us, will he not also give us the strength to endure? Will he not also enable us to be overcomers even when it looks like we're dying inside? That's the type of thing. This is spiritual renewal that God wants to work for us. And because God, he's done all that, he says, because God has done all that, in verse 14 he says, because of this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Because he has done that much for us already by sending his son to die for us to make salvation possible, I can pray with confidence knowing that he will give you what you need to overcome and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have a season of renewal. When we struggle with all that is coming our way, we have a couple options. We can fix our eyes on our problems. Well, that's one option. We can get to work. If you're a worker, be a Christian, that stands to reason. We're going to get to work to fix it. And there is certainly some room for that. But sometimes we simply need to fix our eyes on Jesus and the love that he has shown for us. And that will begin to renew our hearts. Listen, you may have been praying for something. The answer might have been no. But is it possible that if God loves us so much that he would sacrifice his own son, that if he doesn't give you the thing you asked for, that maybe it isn't something you need right now? Or maybe there's a time and a place for everything like the Bible says, and now ain't the time for that thing in your life. Or maybe you're convinced that it is absolutely the right thing and you've convinced yourself of it, but maybe God's got other things that he's working on and the delay or the no is part of the process. When we struggle with all that is coming our way, we can fix our eyes on Jesus and the love that he has shown us. And that will begin to renew our hearts. But it isn't the strength of men or the power of women that makes spiritual renewal possible. It is a work of God. That is why the Apostle Paul prayed that God would empower his people through the Holy Spirit so that we can experience God in a way that is not possible through human means, human efforts, human traditions, human routines. When the Holy Spirit enables us to experience God more fully, things start to change, and often dramatically so. See, spiritual renewal is possible because there is more of God's glory for us to experience. Look at the last part of verse 19. He's praying all these things, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I've been wrestling with this passage all week. It is an exceptionally rich passage. It's two long run-on sentences in the Greek text. Thus, it defies breaking it down, and I have struggled immensely. And yet the general principles are quite obvious, but I like to know everything that it says. But it gets down to the point where it says, I'm praying that you know God more, that God will make it possible for you to know God's love more and experience the massiveness of his love so that you can become all that God would have you to become. When speaking about God's glory, Paul tried to put it in human terms throughout the letter to the Ephesians, and it shows up in other places, and he calls the glory of God the riches of God. Because we can wrap our minds around wealth and prestige and power. And he's trying to say, God's got all of this stuff at his disposal. And in our passage, we see that there is more of God to experience. I imagine I saw a picture a few years ago when a professor of mine had it up. There was a kid looking into a thermos with soup in it, where you drink the soup because it was like tomato soup. And the caption he put was, is there more in there? Might I suggest to you that there's more of God to experience for the Christian? And each new season of life reveals to us that God, who was good when you were 7, is good when you're 17 and when you're 70. And how that all works out in our lives becomes new every morning. God has more in store for us. And in our passage, we see that God wants us to experience more of him. That's a relationship. Going back to the idea of a pickup truck versus if you had an inheritance coming and you loved your dad, and by virtue of him passing away, you got the truck. If you said, I'd rather have the truck than my dad, doesn't that mean that something's wrong in your relationship with your dad? As American Christians, we want the stuff, and God's like, what about me? Don't you want me in your life? And our passage is telling us that God wants us to have more. The story is told about a little girl who came to her daddy and said, Daddy, I want a nickel, and I know you've got money, so would you give me a nickel because I know you love me? So he starts fishing around his pocket. He couldn't find a nickel, so he busts out his wallet, and he pulls out a $20 bill, and he gives her the $20 bill. And she starts crying, Daddy, I said I wanted a nickel. And he tried to explain to her, well, there's so many nickels in a dollar, and there's that $20 bill is equal to this many dollars and therefore this many nickels, and she couldn't hear it because she wanted the nickel. Can I suggest to you that in some ways, that's like our Christian life because there's more of God to experience than what we currently know? God wants to give us a 20 and we're satisfied with the nickel. When spiritual renewal takes place, things start to change. Prayer is the impact wrench that breaks things loose in the Christian life, because prayer taps into the power of God and his glory. So here's a question, rhetorical, I suppose, but I hope you'll respond in some way to it. Have you gotten stuck in your spiritual life and need unstuck? Are you basically the same today as you were the moment before you received Jesus as Savior? Friend, that might mean that you're stuck. Has it been a while since you have grown a little bit more like Jesus? Beloved, it might mean that you're stuck. Have you lost that loving feeling in your marriage, your family, and in your life with Christ and perhaps towards his church? And try as you might to rekindle it, it seems like nothing changes. Friend, that might mean that you're stuck. Have you lost the joy of knowing Jesus? Stuck. Have you lost faith? Stuck. Have you become discouraged and can't get out of it? It might be that you're stuck. When I preach like this, I automatically now, because I've gotten a little more years, I start to worry that people are saying, boy, that preacher's laying it on me. And I'm saying, I don't want to lay it on you. I want you to come to Jesus to receive more of him. Because of the way things are, the status quo isn't good enough for you anymore. That's my hope. As I was preparing to preach, I remembered a thing that I've heard people say numerous times. For example, you have 30 years of experience as a teacher or a pastor or a business person, or is it 30 years, 1 year lived 30 times in a row? And I said, that's kind of rough. And I said, they say, well, that's kind of like a lot of Christians, and then that's kind of beating us up, is it not? But the truth is, I don't know about you, but I don't want the status quo in my walk with Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm better than I was 20 years ago, but God's got more for me to enjoy. And the same is true for you. That's why this passage is in here, because spiritual renewal is possible. There is more of God to experience. Beloved, prayer is the impact wrench of the Christian life. When we apply it to things that are stuck, it gets them unstuck. This morning, if you are stuck in your spiritual life and need a season of renewal, the invitation for the Christian is this. Come to the altar. Bow your knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Ask him for strength. Ask him for the power of the Holy Spirit to be unleashed in your life. Ask him to enable you to experience more fully the love of Christ. Ask him for a time of spiritual renewal in your life, in your family, and in the life of this church. For indeed, God wants to do a new thing in our lives. The question is, do you want that? This morning, the invitation is going to be a little bit different. The altars are open for our song of invitation. Beth, you might as well make your way to the front. It's for the church to come to Jesus and ask him to unstuck you, unstuck us, that the Spirit would renew us as individuals and as families and as a church. When we're done, before we take Lord's Supper, I'm going to give a salvation invitation. But first, I think God wants to do something new in the hearts and lives of his people. So the invitation is for God's people to come and pray. Please stand for our song of invitation.
Wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years, now I'm coming home. Now repent with bitter tears, Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I've tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word, Lord, coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam.
may be seated. In a moment, we're going to take of Lord's Supper. And at First Baptist Church, we practice open communion. And basically what that means is you don't have to be a member of First Baptist Church of Ellington to take communion. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and put your trust in him for salvation, you're welcome to take Lord's Supper with us. Obviously, at the end of the day, I don't know who knows Jesus and who does and who doesn't. Only you know that. Well, the Bible tells us and teaches us that before we take communion, we should examine ourselves. And one of the things that we should do, I think, is examine ourselves and ask the question, have I really put my trust in Jesus for salvation? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And afterwards, we're going to take Lord's Supper together. And you'll have an opportunity to take it perhaps for the first time as a true believer in Jesus Christ and as a member of the family of God. The Bible tells us, when we study it out, one of the things we quickly see is that God had created us with a perfect design and a plan for our lives, and he told us how to live, but shortly after he created us, sin entered the world because people chose to disobey God. And we all, just like Adam and Eve, have chosen to sin, and the Bible tells us that that separates us from God. And sometimes, a lot of times, that separation leads to pain in our lives. Sometimes we can find ways to cover it up, but at the end of the day, usually there's pain in our lives because of sin, and God uses that pain to get our attention, to turn our face to him. And what we do, what we find is that Jesus Christ came into this world. He died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. He lived a sinless life. While he died on the cross alone, away from all of his friends, God the Father did a miracle. He put all of our sins on Jesus, and when he was dying, his death paid for our sins. And now when we put our trust in him, our sins are forgiven, and we have a new life with God. And then God enables us through the power of the Holy Spirit to reclaim his original plan and purpose for our lives. If this morning you'd like to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you come to the place where you admit that you've sinned, you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for your sins, and you're putting your trust in him, I'm going to invite you to a little simple prayer. We're going to confess that we need Jesus, confess that we're sinned, and we're going to ask him to come into our lives and give us eternal life. So I want to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, and we'll lead us in a simple prayer. If you want to receive Jesus, you can take my words and repeat them to God from your heart, and he will hear you, and you will be saved.